For those of you watching online, God bless you. Welcome. God has a word for you. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 18. When you have it, say amen. The word of the Lord says, "For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burnt with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore." He says, "For they could not endure what was commanded. Because when they heard that even if a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or shot with an arrow, they were terrified." The Bible says, even Moses was exceedingly afraid and trembled when he heard that word. Verse 22 declares, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels," "to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven," "to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect." Verse 24 says, "To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." Verse 25 says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more you shall not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven." Now this "yet once more," that phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Stay right there. Stay right there. Don't move the text. So God says, "I'm about to shake earth and heaven again, once more." That means he did it before, so he's about to do it again. And this shaking is a shaking of things that can be shook. Were you even in here with me last week? God said, "I'm going to shake the stuff that can be shook." I preached it last week. I'm shook. I'm going to shake the stuff that can be shook, but the stuff that can't be shaken, it's going to remain. So everything that can leave your life, I'm going to shake it until it's gone. And the only thing that's going to be left is the stuff I built to remain. You don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Go to the next verse. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." I want to preach to you from the subject, unshakable. Father, I thank you. I personally thank you for bringing me to this moment of clarity and discovery of where we are, of what I'm called to do, and and what I'm supposed to impact. I embrace it without reservation. Now anoint me in this moment to speak a word to these people, not from my mind, not from my good idea, but from my God space. Let this word touch somebody in such a way that it changes them forever. Holy Spirit, speak in this room. Do it like only you can. Let this word cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. Transform us by the renewing of our minds. Touch every heart so it's open to receive it. Anoint every ear so that we can hear it. In short, wreck the room, God. Wreck the room. Wreck the room. Do it by your power and by your spirit, and we'll give you glory for it. In Jesus' name. You agree? Shout amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Show them everything God has blessed you with. Come on. All your pretty teeth or no teeth or whatever you got. And look at them and say, it's unshakable. It's unshakable. It's unshakable. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. There's a gentleman that many of you probably don't know his name or his feet, but if I pulled up a picture of his video, you would be familiar with it. The reason you would be familiar with it was because he was a record breaker. His name, if you will, was Felix Baumgartner. Felix Baumgartner was a daredevil who decided that he was going to jump from space and break the sound barrier without a vehicle. His YouTube video went all over the world as you saw the big red ball balloon ascended up into the lowest stratosphere of space, him standing on the edge, which was his little porch off of that balloon, and then in his pressurized spacesuit, jump off of this balloon and into the atmosphere, descending and traveling, jumping at a distance of 128,000 feet, traveling at a speed of over 1,000 miles per hour. He broke the sound barrier as he eclipsed 7,000 miles per hour in speed, jumping off a balloon that was sitting up in the stratosphere. He broke this record because he had decided it in his heart that he wasn't going to be a daredevil in a way that would cause him to regret the decisions that he made. And so he decided that it was going to be his mission in life to take this risk, because he was quoted in saying, a risk-free flight never leaves the ground. And so he decided to make history because he wanted to own a part of history. He wanted his name to go down for generations to come, and he wanted to make sure that if he even failed this mission, it would be a mission that if he didn't even live, it would not be something that he would regret. In other words, dying to try to fix this or solve it or break this record, to do something that people said could not be done, was worth it to him. And so in spectacular fashion, his trip to Earth was nothing short of phenomenal. And he decided to make this journey. And as he made that pilgrimage, he had to wrestle with every structure that stood in contradiction to his destiny. He had to wrestle with this fear. He had to wrestle with standing on that cutting edge. And he said in a CNN interview that fear had become his friend. It was a friend of his because it prevented him from stepping too far over the line. But on the mission like the one he was about to be on, he knew that he had to be mentally fit. And there was a problem in that mental fitness that he never faced before. And the problem was the suit that he had to wear in order to make this jump started to cause a fear in him that he was not familiar with. It created a claustrophobia that he began to have panic attacks because of the pressure in the suit. You see, he was used to base jumping, and he was used to bungee jumping, and he was used to parachuting. He said that parachutes were his friends and his closest confidants. But this was a jump that didn't have the normal prescription of the things that would be in his normal comfort zone, because he was doing it from a different atmosphere. He was now jumping from space to earth. And because he was doing it at such a high altitude, he had to have a pressurized suit, because a human being can exist in a high altitude without having a suit that will contain the pressure that you would normally feel if you were exposed to the elements without the pressurized suit. In like fashion, it was Isaiah who had to have an encounter with God that seemingly put him in the same predicament of having to get into a pressurized condition of seeing God, when God called Isaiah up into the heavens in the year King Uzziah died. And it was Isaiah who was quoted by saying, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up in the year King Uzziah died, and his train," my God, "filled the temple." His train, you don't hear me, "filled the temple." I often ask myself, God, why did your train fill the temple? And he said, if Isaiah would have came into my glory without having a cover, he would have absolutely imploded on himself if I would have showed him how big I really am. So I just allowed him to come into the temple just to see a little bit of who I was. But I filled the temple with a pressurized suit of my robe, so that when he experienced the glory, he could go back and tell everybody what he saw. Bogmeyer was in a pressurized suit so that he could breathe at a high altitude. Isaiah went into the temple, and the temple was filled with God's train, that train of his robe, so that when he experienced God, he could see himself in the distance between him and God and find out, what am I really called to do? And it was in that encounter that Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips." In other words, I'm not even worthy to be at such an invitation to have an audience with God like this. I shouldn't be in this room. And the Bible says an angel came down from off the throne and took a coal off the altar, touched his lips, and said, "Now you're clean." And then God shifted the whole conversation and said, "Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Just like Felix Baumgartner, Isaiah decided, "I'm going to jump off the porch of this stratosphere and into the life that God has for me." Sometimes when God brings you to such an high altitude of vision and thought and destiny, the pressure behind it is so great that it starts creating a little bit of panic, and you don't know how God got you up here. And so you're trying to stay here. But I came to tell somebody today, you're about to jump right into your destiny at a travel velocity that is unheard of, and it's going to break the sound barrier. I wish I had somebody in here. It's going to break the sound barrier. It's going to break barriers that cannot be broken, that cannot be exceeded. It's an exit velocity that you're about to discover and are about to have. Pastor, what's an exit velocity? When Felix Baumgartner decided to jump off of that balloon, he didn't travel all of a sudden at the rate of 7,000 miles per hour. The moment he jumped off of the balloon, he was at 1,000 miles per hour. That means when he stepped off the thing, you don't hear what I'm saying, he stepped off the thing and exited the stratosphere at 1,000 miles per hour. But when he got into Earth's atmosphere, the speed picked up, and the only thing that kept him from combusting was the pressurized suit that he had on. You don't hear what I'm saying, because when you leave one atmosphere and you enter into another atmosphere, you don't hear what I'm saying, there's a combustion that takes place that sparks a fire, and normally you should be consumed going through that fire. But when Bogmeyer went through that fire, it was the suit that got him through the fire. The Bible says that in him we live and move and have our being. Jesus became the pressurized suit for us to... I'm not going to blow my voice out trying to get you to understand what I'm saying. Jesus became the pressurized suit, Lord have mercy, for us to wear symbolically, just like the suit that Felix Baumgartner had on that caused the panic because it had him feeling claustrophobic because the pressure and the intensity of the suit was so great. He felt squeezed in. He felt tight. He felt like he was about to burst, but it was the suit that was keeping him from bursting in the atmosphere. You don't hear what I'm saying. The Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. Your relationship with God is you trying to discover Christ in you. But can I suggest to you that you have to start discovering you in him? And when you discover you in him, it's a whole different ball game. Jesus said it this way, take my yoke upon you. Go ahead and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me slow down. I'm trying to give you touch points to understand the point. A man jumped from space with no vehicle. And the only thing that kept him was the suit he had on. A man jumped from space. This is not fantasy. It happened. With no vehicle. You don't hear me. And the only thing that kept him was the suit and the speed. He was going so fast, you don't hear me, that the atmosphere didn't have time to catch him. He was leaving so quick that the gravity, y'all don't hear what I'm saying, the gravity of space, of being weightless, didn't have time to catch him. If he stepped off of the platform in space, he should have floated in a non-gravity atmosphere. But when he stepped off in the pressurized suit, it was so fast, you don't hear what I'm saying, it was so fast, he didn't drift, he was driven. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You're not about to drift into your destiny. You're about to drive into your destiny. Slap your neighbor high five. Sit there and act crazy if you want to. Go and tell him. Sit there and act crazy if you want to. But I'm not about to drift there. I'm about to drive there. How does a man jump from space and land on a bullseye? They had vertical alignment from top to bottom, from the spot he was standing on to the spot that he was going to land on. It was not happenstance. It was not a mistake. It was not given to chance. His arrival was calculated. And I'm trying to tell you the best way I know how that your arrival is calculated. God has calculated the odds of where you are and where you're supposed to be. And he's trying to tell you, you're about to get there. That push you feel in your back is the hand of the living God saying, don't be afraid, don't panic. I got you covered. You're not gonna die, but you're gonna live and declare the works of the Lord. Go get them. Isaiah had the same encounter and experience. God brought him up to take him back down. You don't hear me. And God is trying to show you, I'm bringing you up to send you back down. I only bring you up so that you can understand your purpose better, so that you can understand your destiny better, so that you can let go of the things that need to be let go of. I brought you up to shake you. You don't hear what I'm saying. So that what remains in your life cannot be shaken. The vision in your life, not shaken. The purpose in your life, not shaken. The anointing in your life, not shaken. The faith in your life, not shaken. The peace in your life, not shaken. The praise that you give, not shaken. The prayer life that you start, not shaken. You don't hear what I'm saying up in here. The day is over where you praise him sometimes and don't praise him over here. The day is over where you believe him sometimes and have doubt over here. The day is over. You don't hear me? The text says that they did not come to the mountain that cannot be touched. Y'all sit down. They could not come to the mountain that did not be touched. The text is powerful because it's Hebrews 12 what comes after Hebrews 11. That little part I just gave you was the intro to get you to try to understand what I'm talking about. A man jumped from space and he broke the sound barrier with a calculated distance to land in the exact spot that they designed for him to land, and he hit the red mark on the dot. You don't hear what I'm saying. From jumping from 128,000 feet in the air. My God, you get in a plane at 30,000 feet, you get dizzy. You fly when you go somewhere at over 30,000 feet, and this man is at 128,000 feet. And at 30,000 feet, you can't see nothing. How does he hit a bullseye? Y'all don't hear what I'm saying to you. At 128,000 feet, when you can't see nothing. Your God, he had to trust the calculation. He had to trust the calculation, and he had to get comfortable in the pressure. Because it was the pressure that was keeping him alive. Can I tell you, it's the pressure that's keeping you alive. We are pressed on every side. God, I'm preaching way better than this church is shot. It's the pressure that's keeping you. That's the reason you ain't lost your mind yet. You don't hear what I'm saying. It's the pain, baby, that's helping you. It's letting you know you're not dead yet. You're not dead yet. It's not over. Y'all sit down, sit down. Sit down. So just like Felix, Isaiah had the same experience. And just like Isaiah, the children of Israel had the same experience. But when their first experience came, they didn't like it. They didn't like the pressure. They didn't like the roughness of it. They asked for a meeting with God. Yeah. So the Hebrew writer is writing to Hebrews who are having a difficult time leaving the atmosphere of Judaism and coming into the atmosphere of Christianity. You don't hear me. They're having a difficult time because these are proselyte Jews. These are Jews who converted to Christianity, but they're still trying to keep their Jewish traditions. And so he has to build his case all the way from Hebrews 1 to let them know you're coming to a new, a more better covenant, because this covenant is not made by man. It's made between God and God. That's why it's a better covenant built on better promises. And then he gives them an example of all the people that came before them in the great hall of faith in Hebrews 11. And he tells them, listen, that the reason why you have to trust the pressure, it has to be by faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He says, by this just by this one act, by this one act of faith, kingdoms were conquered. He says, listen, it was Abraham who was looking for a city whose builder and maker was the Lord. He said it was by faith that Abraham believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He goes on to say, by faith, Abel made a more better sacrifice than Noah. He continues and goes through the great hall of faith that goes on and on and on. By faith, Abraham believed, and it was counted unto righteousness. By faith, Sarah believed, even though she laughed at the promise of God. He goes on and on and on and says, by faith, these things happen. And as he gets through the great hall of faith and finishes and concludes, he then opens up in Hebrews 12 and says, now that you have this great cloud of witnesses, all of the people who've gone before you in your lineage and in your heritage, they're standing there at the finish line cheering you on. They're the witnesses that are sitting in the cloud saying, you can make it, you can do it. And he says, and if you can't think about them, won't you consider Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. But before he says looking unto Jesus, he tells them, you got to lay aside every weight. You don't hear what I'm saying. Felix Bogmeyer was having panic attacks because he didn't have his normal equipment and the normal things that he was accustomed to when he did a jump. All he had was this pressurized suit and this helmet that he had never wore before. You don't hear what I'm saying. So he had to lay aside everything that he knew in order to do something that was impossible and break a record and have a piece of history. Lay aside every weight. And then he adds, and the sin which so easily besets us. So there's weight and then there's sin. Oh, I'm gonna lean on it. So there's weight that I carry, then there's sin that I carry. So he says, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Some weights that I carry are regrets. But regrets are really opportunities. If you look at them differently, there's no need to go through your life and say, I wish I would have, because there's still time too. Y'all are gonna miss me today. I can tell you that right now. But then the greater problem that he says is because the weights are easy. The weights are easy because you can just lay them aside. He says, but the sin that besets us, the sin besets us easily. I can easily lay down the weight, but I can also easily be set by the sin. In other words, I can easily be tricked up and held up by the thing I am refusing to let go of. I won't let it go, but I keep praying to God to take it away. But I won't let it go. How can God take something that I refuse to let go of? Oh, y'all don't want to talk about it. That's like trying to rebuke a demon that you're sleeping with. You can't rebuke a devil that you're in a relationship with. You got to resist the devil. Then he will flee. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about it. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I got to let some stuff go. I got to walk away from something. If I got to get a nicotine patch, I got to get a nicotine patch. Y'all don't want to talk about it. Y'all don't want to talk about it. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about it. I got to do everything and anything in my power to get rid of this thing that keeps tripping me up. Sit down. Y'all want to talk about it? The reason that the sin so easily besets you, which many people in the text call unbelief, the unbelief is not about believing in God. The unbelief is about not believing that you can be free from the thing that keeps tripping you up. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, whom the Son sets free. I wish I was in here with somebody. It's free indeed. The devil is a liar. You can be free from any addiction that has tried to bind you in the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm going to talk about it this moment. I'm going to talk about it this moment. Your porn addiction has got to go. Your weed addiction has got to go. Your alcohol addiction has got to go. Oh, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm going to get free today. Somebody sitting there next to you like, stop playing around with the enemy. You can be free if you want to be free. Sit down, sit down. You don't have no time to be embarrassed. Stop sitting here blushing at the fact that I said your porn addiction has got to go. I'm talking exactly to you. Your pornography addiction, male and female, has got to go. You ain't got time to be embarrassed. Just be free. Nobody cares, and nobody should care more than you. The sin that so easily besets us. It easily besets us because you refuse to let it go. Don't go down without a fight. I wish I had help. Listen to me. Don't go down without a fight. Throw your phone in the river. I wish I had somebody sling your computer in the trash. Move. I wish I had somebody in here. Move. Clear out your contacts. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about it. Don't go down without a fight. You sitting there praying, God, take it, and he going, leave it. Sit down. That's not even my point. That's not even my first point. That's all Holy Ghost inspired. Because you've got to get to the place where you're determined to be free and become the individual that God has called you to be. You do not have to wrestle with it for the rest of your life. You don't. You don't. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you. Looking unto Jesus. He says, the way you do it is to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And you can't leave the next verse out. For who endured the cross? Watch me now. Despising the shame. He endured the cross, but he ain't like it. I wish I had help from somebody. I'm saying, he endured the cross, but he didn't like it. I got to get to my first point. He endured the cross, but he didn't like it. He despised the shame. Oh, God, I don't have time to talk about it. He despised the fact that he had to clothe himself in flesh and be mocked and be beaten and be spit on. He despised the shame, but he endured such contradictions. Oh, God. So he says, use this as your motto, as your case study on how not to quit. If Jesus could go through that, certainly you can throw your phone in the river. I wish I had help. Certainly you can pick up the phone and say, it's over. I'm done. As a matter of fact, don't even pick up the phone. Just erase that number completely and change yours. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, Pastor is talking to me. I know he is. You sitting next to somebody, they don't even want to say it. They're looking at you like, he ain't talking to me. I'm good. I'm straight. He is not talking to me. I don't have those issues. You don't have to be full of pride your whole life. You don't have to be full of bitterness your whole life. You don't have to be full of anger your whole life. Oh, I find you. The weed, the porn, and all that stuff are surface issues. You only do those things because there's something underneath the structure that you have not dealt with yet. You don't hear what I'm saying. And I'm about to peel that sucker back and get down to the root of the matter and pull out the thorn that, oh God, I feel it. When you come to this new place, you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight for it. And you're going to have to fight for getting rid of your old mentality of all the pain and trauma that you've been through and endured and the stuff that it causes you to do. You're going to have to fight for it. And so to fight for it, you got to be trained. Hebrews 12 is all about training. When the children of Israel came to the mountain of God because they wanted to have a meeting with God. And they said, Moses, you're up there talking to God, and we don't know what you're talking about. And Moses went back to God and said, okay, the people want to meet with you. And God said, no problem. Have them come to the mountain, and we'll have a conversation. And when they came to the mountain, God came as a trainer. You don't hear me. He came as a trainer. He came down the mountain rough. There was thundering, and there was lightning, and there was smoke. You don't hear me. And he starts setting boundaries. And he says, don't touch the mountain. If you touch it, you're going to die. If your animal touch it, you're going to die. I wish I had help from somebody. And the Bible says, according to Hebrews 12, when they came to that mountain and they heard that word, they trembled with fear so much that they ran away from the mountain and they wish that God would stop speaking because it was the speaking that they couldn't take. You don't hear what I'm saying? Because they couldn't handle the conditioning. They couldn't handle the training. So they mistook training as punishment. In the same scriptural text, God tells you, I love you, so I gotta discipline you. I love you, so I gotta correct you. I love you, so I gotta train you. Y'all don't wanna talk about it. I love you, so I gotta get you mentally, spiritually fit for where I'm sending you. So it requires training. And when God came down the mountain, rough on them. Like that, they said, we don't want the word. And when they stopped requesting the word, they started making their own God. God, Jesus. When they stopped requesting the word, they started making their own God. When they stopped requesting the word, they started making their own God. And so they took off their earrings and melted down their gold and gave them to the priests. And the priests, because they weren't speaking the word, because the priests weren't speaking the word, the priests took the direction from the people instead of the priests giving the people direction. And then the priests started to give the people what they wanted instead of what they needed. Your apparent need is not always your greatest need. Sometimes you need clarity before you get healing. Jesus will walk up on people who needed healing and then say, what do you want me to do? You don't hear what I'm saying, because the healing wasn't the most important need. The clarity of what they wanted was more important. They danced around the golden calf and missed their hour of visitation. They ran from the mountain. But the Hebrew writer says, you have not come to that mountain. And so he's trying to tell them, stop living off of a past experience that caused you pain, because that place is no longer a part of your life. You have not come to Mount Sinai, but you've come to Mount Zion. Mount Sinai was a physical mountain on earth, but Mount Zion is a heavenly experience. It doesn't exist in this atmosphere. You don't hear what I'm saying. It exists in the heavens. So the Hebrew writer says, you are no longer in earth's atmosphere. You now are operating in a different atmosphere in the heavens. And so you have to learn how to live in Mount Zion. Oh, God, when you came to Mount Sinai, it had smoke, it had thunder. He gives them seven characteristics of Mount Sinai. I don't have time to go there. I won't turn it until Wednesday night. But he gives them seven characteristics of Mount Sinai. And then he turns around and gives them seven characteristics of Mount Zion. And he says, Mount Sinai is full of smoke and thunder and lightning and the voice that shook the earth. But when you come to Mount Sinai, it's of just men made perfect. It is by the mediator, Jesus Christ. It's filled with a host of angels and the general assembly that all come together to worship. When you come to Mount Sinai, it's by the sprinkling of the blood that is a better thing than Abel's blood, because Abel's blood spoke of vengeance, but Jesus' blood spoke of grace. I don't have to get back at you. You don't hear what I'm saying? Because I'm covered in the blood of the Lamb. So I'm going to give you these four things. Then I'm going to sit down before my voice blows out. So he tells them, because you have not come to Mount Zion, Mount Sinai, you've come to Mount Zion. You're in a different atmosphere. You're in a conducive atmosphere. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So you have to learn how to see at the next level. You're not at Mount Sinai, where it was rough and hard and difficult, and you didn't understand the training, so you ran away from the training. And when you ran away from the training, you started making your own God. And when you start making your own God, you got so arrogant that you had a delusional power that you could pull God out of the heavens and into your little tiny psyche. But you cannot pull God out of the heavens, because his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. God has to pull you up to him. You can't pull him down. He pulls you up. And then when he pulls you up, he shows you his principles and then sends you down. And then when he sends you down, he gives you tools to bring him down, not pull him down. So when I praise him down here, write these down if you want to, and I'm closing. I got 10 minutes. I wanted to keep you to 12:30, and I'm about to do that. If you can't handle 40 minutes of a word, I don't know if you could, you know, okay, I can't help you. I can't help you. Watch this. So he says to them, I'm going to give you these four things. It's going to bless you. So he says to them, he says in Hebrews 12:12, get it up here for me. Hebrews 12:12, he says, strengthen your hands. Oh, God. Y'all get that thing up there for me now. Strengthen your hands. He says to them, strengthen your hands. I'll read it because you're taking too long. Strengthen your hands. Come on. Strengthen thy hands, which hang down. Uh-huh. Yeah. Therefore, strengthen your hands, oh God, which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Look at your neighbor and say, get strong, get strong. Oh, come on, look at him again and say, get strong, get strong, get strong, get strong. He says, strengthen your hands, which hangs down. He says, like a coach or a military officer that tells his players, listen, get with the program. In other words, he says, you got to get strong in the Lord. In other words, you got to put off discouragement. Uh-huh. And now's the time for you to do it. He says, do it so that your feeble knees will not be dislocated. You don't hear what I'm saying. The reason why you got to strengthen your hands is because, baby, yes, in a new atmosphere, you're going to have some stumbles. I wish I had somebody to talk to. So you got to strengthen your hands so that when you trip up and fall, your hands catch you. And your feeble knees are strengthened so that when you do make a little misstep, nothing is broken. You don't hear what I'm saying. Look at your name and say, I might fall, but I'm getting right back up again. I wish I had somebody in here. I might fall, but I'm get strong. Get strong. In this new atmosphere, you got to get strong. You have to put off discouragement. And if you fall on your journey as you're stumbling, trying to get free, trying to get loose, trying to get rid of, and you all of a sudden fall and you get down there, before you get up, won't you go ahead and change your posture?
and say, God, while I'm down here, I'm going to learn how to seek your face while I'm down here. I'm going to learn how to lay prostrate while I'm down here. I'm going to learn how to get in your presence while I'm down here. I'm going to learn how to pray, and having done all to stand there.
If my knees are strong, I can stay on them. And you don't understand the kingdom, because this posture touches heaven. When my knees hit the ground, I'm transported into glory. You got to get strong. You got to get strong. Because after you're done praying, you're going to have to stand. You got to get strong. You got to get strong. Strengthen your hands that hang down and your feeble knees so that they're not dislocated. Why would he say that unless there was a stumble coming? Stop letting the stumble stop you. God calculated the stumble. They said in Felix's jump, there were over a million different things that could go wrong. So they had to make over a million calculations. God calculated the stumble. You stumble and quit. You stumble and quit. You find a thorn and ready to give up. And God says, keep the thorn. My grace. I wish I had a church. My grace can handle your thorn. I'm the only one excited. My grace can handle your thorn. God knows you got an addiction. God knows what you do when you ain't in here. I know you play church good. But God knows what the real deal is. And he says, my grace can handle it. Y'all don't want to talk about it. Slap your name and say, get strong, get strong, get strong, get strong. Come on, give him a good anointed slap and say, get strong, get strong. Look at him again and say, get right, get right. Get right. He says, once you get strong, you got to get right. He said, first strengthen your hands and your feeble knees. And then he tells them, after you get strong, you got to get right. And the reason you got to get right is because your destiny is linked to people. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about it. Come on, get with me on this. Y'all not that tired. Your destiny is linked to people. There's no need of you getting strong unless you're going to get right. So the next verse says, come on, go to verse 14. The next verse says that you got to get right. Y'all got to please move faster. The verse of pursue peace with all people. Pursue peace with all people. Oh, ain't nobody shouting that. You was like, yeah, I like that knee thing, Pastor. Get strong. Why do I need to get strong? Because my life involves people. So I gotta pursue peace with all of them. The ones I don't like, the ones that broke my heart, the ones. It's real quiet. Getting right doesn't have anything to do with you, but everything to do with people. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. If you want to see at the next level, you got to get right. You got to pursue peace with people. The only peace you're pursuing is your own. I need peace. My peace is too precious for have you in my life. I need my own peace. To get patience, you need problems. To get peace, you need people. To get patience, you need problems. To get peace, you need people. It wouldn't be peace if it was not from something. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Yeah, yeah, get right. Look at your neighbor and say, get right. I'm almost there. Get right. Get right. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Get right with both men. Get right with God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you can get right with God if you're not going to get right with men. Lest any fall short of the grace of God, get right. Look at your name and say, get right. Lest any fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, watch me now, springing up, cause trouble. Y'all don't read the text. So the root is already there. It's grace that keeps it from springing up. We all got something to be bitter about. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. It's grace that stops it from springing up. God, help me in this place. Yeah, yeah. Lest any root of bitterness springs up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Yeah, that's how you come defiled. That's how you start dancing around the golden calf. That's how you stay addicted. Because you mad. And you upset they treated you like that. And they did you dirty like that. And it wasn't right and it wasn't fair. So you justify. Because you're bitter. Life threw you something that shouldn't have been thrown to you. And it's true. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. But you don't have to carry it. You don't have to carry it. You don't have to carry it. Because when you carry it, you sell your birthright. I don't have time. I don't have time. When you carry it, you sell your birthright. It becomes nothing to you. You don't hear what I'm saying. And then you regret it and you seek it back with tears. For Esau, it was too late. Look at your name and say, I got to get right. I got to get right. I got to get right. Come on, come on. I got two more. Last one. Get both. I got two more. The one before the last one. Here we go. Get strong. Get right. Get bold. When you get right, then you can get bold. There are things that are supposed to be in your life. It has nothing to do with you deserving it, but has everything to do with your destiny. So stop trying to tell yourself you don't deserve it. This is what God has destined for your life. So you have got to get bold. I don't know, God, who am I talking to? Who am I talking to in here? Who am I talking to in here? You have got to get bold because you have not come to the mountain. Lord, have mercy. That may not be touched and burnt with fire. That's not where you are. You've got to get bold with God. You got to know that the blood of Jesus is covering you everywhere that you go. You've got to get bold. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to get bold. 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 I got to get bold because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I got to get bold because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I can't get help. I got to get bold because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm not preaching to anybody in here. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm covered by his blood. I'm covered. Get strong. Get right. Get bold. Get strong. Get right. Get bold. I'm gonna trick you with the last one. Get strong. Get right. Get bold. Slap your neighbor high five and say, get strong, baby. Get right. Get bold. Now watch out. I wish I had help from somebody. Get strong. Get right. Get bold. Now watch out. Look at him again and say, get strong. Get right. Get bold. Now watch out. I wish I had help. Get strong. Get right. Get bold. Now watch out. Because God is about to shake some stuff. Because I got strong. He's about to shake some stuff. Because I got right. He's about to shake some stuff. Because I got bold. Watch out, baby. When you get right. When you get strong. When you get right. When you get bold. See, I see. You would think the next one is a get. You're not, and I thought about it. Let me tell you what I thought about preaching this text. I know what time it is. You ain't got nowhere to go. Be quiet. Come on. I thought about this. You ain't even got to sit down. Come on. We go. I thought about this. So I thought, I wrote down in this message, get strong, get right, get bold, get ready. And God said, it's not get ready, it's watch out. The watch out is not a warning. It's an announcement. Now, y'all ain't let me have church all day. Let me have church right here. Slap your name and say, this ain't no warning, baby. This is an announcement. Watch out and see what God is about to. Oh God, why you don't hit me? Why, when you watch out, you're like, what's coming? What's happening? What's about to move? What's going? You left fast, but you're entering in faster. Slap your name and say, watch out. Now let me tie it up in the bow for you. When Felix Baumgartner jumped from over 128,000 feet from a different atmosphere into the Earth's atmosphere, he didn't burn up because he had a pressurized suit on. He got strong. He didn't panic in the pressurized suit because he got right. The people were talking in his ear, and he had to trust the people on the ground. Because his destiny involves people. So he got strong to deal with the pressure. He got right to deal with the people. He got bold when the speed picked up. Because when he hit 7,000 miles per hour, everything in his body started shaking. He said, I started shaking so violently, I thought I was gonna lose everything. And he says, pieces of my equipment started falling off, and some of it even burnt up. He says, but the stuff that was designed to stick stayed on me. I feel like preaching. I feel like sit there and look crazy if you want to. But you're about to pick up an accelerated speed, and the stuff that ain't supposed to be in your life is about to be shaken off, and the stuff that's supposed to stick is about to stay. Oh, slap your neighbor high five and say, my peace is going to stay. My praise is going to stay. My power is going to stay. My anointing is going to... Oh, y'all don't want to have no church in here? And when he picked up at 7,000 miles per hour and broke the sound barrier, they said in his ear, you've done it. You've broke the sound barrier. And he didn't know where he was because he was kind of free falling and a little bit unconscious. And so he couldn't see the red dot. I wish I had help in here. He couldn't see the red dot. But when you come to Mount Zion, you don't have to see the red dot because you're covered in the red dot. I don't have nobody in here
But if I had 10 sanctified folk, they'd lean their head back and say, I'm covered in the blood of the Lamb. I don't have to see where I'm going to land. You just need to watch out, because the blood of Jesus. Y'all don't want to have no church. Slap your neighbor and say, just watch out, baby. Everyone standing on your feet. I'm not going to fight you to have church. I want to have church all by myself. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take 30 seconds for me and have church for me and tell the devil, watch out. Here I come, covered in the blood of the Lamb, free falling in my purpose. Watch out, devil. Here I come. Watch out, though, because here I come. Because here I come. See, y'all don't want to. No. I'm talking to people who have been in a fight for their vision, a fight for their destiny, a fight for their purpose. Watch out, devil, because here we come. Full of glory, full of power, full of anointing. Listen. If you ain't shouted, you missed your window by now. Listen to me. Get strong. Get it right. Get bold. Watch out.
I want to close the service like this. Go if you gotta go, do whatever you gotta do. If you wanted to say hi to me, I love you, God bless you. I'll stand in the corner somewhere if you want to come say hi. But I want to open this altar up. I don't care your station. I don't care your title. I don't care who you are. There's some things that need to be shaken in your life. And I want to end this service with you at this altar. You don't need to wait for nobody. Just move. Stuff that needs to be shaken off of you so that you can stand in the unshakable kingdom. Mindsets and addictions and fears and bitterness and anger, envy, shaken off of you. These are the things that are disrupting your destiny. These are the things that are stopping you from discovering who you were created to be. You grew up in it. It was the culture in your home. This is how things were. You don't know how to let it go. You don't have to wait for nobody or nothing. You just start worshiping. You just start getting into God's presence. I'll give a proper dismissal, but I want to give those people time to get to this altar before I dismiss you. If you want to say hi, I'll go stand in a corner somewhere and say hi to you. But we have to stop using church as entertainment. When we come together corporately, it is not to entertain ourselves. It's to get instruction, correction. It's to find out what we have to do next. Is to get clarity tools for decision making. Clarity sometimes is more important than healing. That's why Jesus didn't heal everybody. You don't hear me. People who needed healing, he said, what do you want me to do? Their need was apparent, but he asked them, what do you want me to do? He was asking for them to articulate their desire. What do you want? That's why you're at this altar right now. What do you want? If you don't want to be addicted, say so. If you don't, listen, this is going to sound crazy. My father was 6'3", 300 and something pounds. Awesome, anointed man of God, phenomenal preacher, died before his time. When I turned 40, I started to fear that I was going to die. Now, I'm an alpha, so fear is my friend. I don't fear much. My wife will tell you. I ain't scared of nothing. I walk up in there. That's how I'm built. But when I got 40, stuff in my underlying structure from trauma that I had when I was a child rose to the surface, and I started thinking about my mortality, like I'm not going to see my grandkids, like I'm going to die. So I became a health nut, and it was unhealthy. You don't hear what I'm saying. It wasn't balanced. Do you hear what I'm saying? It wasn't balanced because it was done out of fear. And then when I articulated what I wanted, I want to be healthy. I don't want to be overweight. I want to be able to live my life with joy I don't want to get old and have to have anything that stops me. I want to be able to preach freely. I don't want to have all these physical ailments. I want to be healthy. So it became not a goal, but a lifestyle. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's my lifestyle now because that's what I want. And if you say to yourself at this altar, God, I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be addicted. This is what I want. This is what I want. I can guarantee you it lines up with what he wants for you. So while you're at this altar, you got to articulate your desire to the Lord and let him break through that surface that you keep putting up in front of him. God is not going to force himself on you. He won't, but he won't give up on you either. That's why he said, my grace is sufficient for you. So if you're at this altar because you got an addiction and some other people, God help me, Holy Ghost, don't miss your moment of visitation. Don't get caught dancing around the golden calf. This is your moment of visitation. I'm talking to everybody in this room. This is your moment of visitation. Pastor's getting to the altar, going to do anything for my life. It could, maybe. So I'm telling you, this is your moment of visitation. Don't get caught dancing around the golden calf. Get to this altar if you have to get to this altar. Banding your post. Do whatever you have to do. Do whatever you have to do. God's about to touch you right here. But you got to articulate your desire. Don't come down here playing around. And don't come down here because you think I'm going to pray for you. Because I'm not. This is between you and the Lord. This is you and God. And this is you saying to God, I don't want this no more. I don't want this no more. And he can take it from you. But you got to choose to let it go. And you got to choose to give it up. And then you have to fight every day after today. You have to fight. This is where we miss it as Christians. You can't blow it away. You don't hear what I'm saying. I lay hands on you, you're going to get up, you're going to fall out, you're going to get back up and go right back out there and do the same thing. You have to fight. Do you hear what I'm saying? Get strong. Fight. Strengthen your hands. Strengthen your feeble knees. Upgrade your circle and the people that influence your life. Huh? If I don't know why I'm on this porn addiction thing, but if it's a late night thing and that's what you do at late night, look, cut your cable off. Huh? Tell your wife. Tell your husband. You don't hear what I'm saying in here. Maybe that's not therapeutically sound. I don't know, baby. But I'm trying to tell you, be honest about where you're at. Fight. Don't go down without you swinging. Fight. Resist the devil. Fight. Don't let him take you out of here. Whether it's anger, whether it's unforgiveness, you're bitter, you're mad. You went through a traumatic divorce. It was hard. It was rough. It was difficult. And it still lives in you. You try to fake like it's over. You try to fake like you're past it. You try to fake like you're behind it. But it keeps you up at night. It's nagging you. It's progress and problems in your health. God can let you release that thing today with such joy that your life goes on after divorce. I'm talking to somebody in here that your life moves on. Hallelujah. We got to stop blushing at this stuff. Yes, yes. We're in here dancing and praising and suffering out there and faking in here. Let's be free. Come on, lift your hands at this altar. Don't lose the energy because I'm talking. I'm not just talking to be talking. I'm telling you, this is your moment of visitation. You're going to see at the next level. And you're not taking all this baggage with you. This stuff is about to burn up in a destiny atmosphere. You're not taking all this baggage and all this trauma and all this pain with you. You're letting it go. And you don't need any sedative. You don't need nothing to sedate you. You don't need nothing to comfort you. Come on. You got to learn to live in this new place. You got to get strong. You got to get right. Yeah, you got to get strong. I feel the anointing of God in here. You got to get strong. You got to get right. You got to get bold. And when that happens, watch out, devil. Watch out, devil. Come on, come on. May the Lord bless you and keep you. They're going to worship. You worship at this altar. I'm going to dismiss you. Father, we thank you for this word today. The people are at this altar because they're declaring their freedom. They're articulating their desire. God, you can move in their life right now like none other. So wreck them at this altar. It doesn't even take long, God. You can do it in the next 2-3 minutes right now by your power. So Father, we ask for you to visit these people who have decided to let it go, who've decided to leave some things behind. Shake it loose, God, and let the stuff that's supposed to remain stick. For the kingdom of God is unshakable. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Devil, watch out. For these people are about to be free. And God's going to turn them loose. Oh, God. Watch out, devil. Watch out. Now, may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. And may his blood cover you from now into eternity. In Jesus' name.